May 8th, Chris Steinecker, Dashboard.
All right. Good afternoon, everybody. Joe, I just want to say again, thank you to the Catalyst family. You guys are awesome. Thank you for allowing us to do this. We're going to start off every broadcast now with just the dashboard to make sure we understand where we're at. Let me bring it up really quick for everybody. All right. So here's where we're at today, guys. Again, what we're asking you to look at are the green and red boxes. The top of this is about our COVID-19, and this is all about Pinellas County metrics. And you can see, again, this is the number that is our real bogey is, this is the percent of positive cases. So as we test more people, we're going to have more cases, but what's the percent of them? The mayor has asked us to keep that under 6%. He's going to keep us open as long as we can keep this down where it needs to be. So why we share it every day is for you to understand it. The second one is this number of 14-day average new cases. This is has gone up a little bit as of today. Yesterday it was down to 10 point something. So we are going to watch this. This has gone between 10 and 11 for the last probably 5 or 6 days now, as far as just bouncing it back and forth. This is a number we have to watch. If you start seeing this number going above 14, which was kind of our high point, you're going to say, hey, we're doing something. There's maybe a little bit more social contact than we can handle right now. So these are the two numbers to watch. But at this point, I would tell everybody we're still in great shape. We're still opening carefully and safely, and we're getting ready to go. So, you know, and Joe, you know, this is about safety. I hope everybody gets that now. We've drilled it into everybody. You know, what we really want to talk about today is everybody safe? And I used to be part of the Homeless Leadership Board, an amazing initiative in Pinellas County. I've invited Susan Myers to talk about our homeless issues and how we're dealing with those together and what we can do better even. So let's bring in Susan Myers. There she is now.
Hey, I'm back.
Welcome, Susan. How are you?
Good morning. Thank you.
So it appears you're hunkered down at home. How has your experience been so far?
You know, it's not as bad as I thought it was going to be. We've actually learned as a staff how to communicate effectively and work with our partners and have Zoom umpteen dozen Zoom meetings. And it's been okay. Yeah, we're able to actually communicate and get work done. So I'm really happy about that.
Great. Well, you know, I don't know if a lot of our viewers actually see you because you work so hard, first of all, and I don't even know people understand really what you do. So would you take a few minutes and just first start on yourself? Just tell people a little bit about yourself.
Well, I am almost a Florida native. My family moved here when I was a child, and I grew up in Bradenton. Then I went to the University of Florida and lived in Gainesville, Florida for 32 years. Never meant to, but I just did. I did come back to the area to be close to my aging parents. And I love St. Pete. I didn't want to move anywhere else but the St. Pete area. And so I lived in St. Pete for a while. Now live in Gulfport. And my background has always been in social services. I worked for county governments, Alachua County for many years, and then Broward County for a few years. I actually did live in Fort Lauderdale. In the human services, and so homelessness was always in my bucket. In terms of my work responsibilities and moving here to St. Pete, I became the executive director, or now the CEO of the Homeless Leadership Board, which now is the Homeless Leadership Alliance of Pinellas. We've changed our name. I like Alliance. I think it's more cooperative, more collaborative than board. And what we do is we oversee the entire system of care for homelessness. We're more of an administrative entity. We don't really provide a lot of direct services, although we do some now. And one of the significant roles we have is we are appointed by HUD, the Department of Housing and Urban Development, to oversee homelessness. And there are 27, we call ourselves the Homeless Continuum of Care. There are 27 of us in the state of Florida and over 400 across the country. And we primarily apply for and manage the HUD funding for homelessness. And we bring over $4 million into the community to help end homelessness.
Great. And when I was on the board with you guys, and you've done an amazing job of just, and I love the word alliance, because that's what we need in this community, in this county. We had a strategy of housing first. Can you just describe that so everybody really understands how you guys approach this overall strategy?
Well, we do believe that the ultimate solution to homelessness is housing. And we believe in housing first. And what that means is, you know, we know everybody comes with some issues, including me, including you maybe. But we believe that people need to be housed first, and then we can help them address their issues, whatever they may be, whether that's job, whether that's mental health issues, substance abuse issues. We believe in housing first, and that's where that term comes from. And then once we get people into housing, we wrap services around them for a period of time,
right,
until they're stabilized.
So we certainly know, all of the research you showed me understands that if we can stop them from getting out of their home somehow, we have a better chance of you know, we have a better recovery rate. But how quickly we can get them back into a home is one of those success factors, correct?
Right. And it's a challenge. You know, it's a challenge due to resources. You know, we all have limited resources, and we try our best to manage our resources so we can get as many people, families or individuals into housing as quickly as possible. But there is definitely a wait list, I will say, and it's because of resources and also the cost of housing.
We are in a high priced area, and you've been really working hard to try to figure out how to do affordable housing in this community with the funds that you guys are able to smartly get for our community. So I appreciate that. And you also do a point in time homeless count, you know, just for a sense for our viewers, like just what is the population that you're having to try to figure out how to get them into homes? Like, do you have a sense of how many folks don't have homes in our community?
We do a point in time. HUD requires communities to do a point in time count one day of the last 10 days of January. So everybody across the country is doing this count. We have been doing good in reducing our homelessness. I will say over the last 5 years, we've seen a reduction in literally homeless. Of course, one day a year is not the most scientific count. We all recognize that. But right now, we don't have our final numbers for this year's count, but I anticipate it to be similar to last year's, which was about 2,700 people.
Those places like the libraries that people would find shelter in the daytime, those aren't open anymore. So it might appear that there are more homeless right now, but it's really about just, we haven't solved the issue of where do we go in a pandemic for the homeless folks? We don't have places for them, correct?
Well, public places are typically closed. There still are shelters. We have significant shelters in our community, and we're fortunate that way. But some of the shelters stopped taking new residents as soon as the pandemic started because they wanted to assure that their existing residents would be safe and not exposed to potential new people bringing in viruses. Not right. All shelters did that, but some did. That was, gotcha. And that's their option to do that.
Right. And then, so how does a city like St. Pete and a county like Pinellas, what have you seen get in action to assist and provide some relief for that population?
Some of the shelters are open, and so they are still taking some people. And so those shelters are continuing to take new residents, and there are beds available in our community. Just so you know, there are vacant beds.
Great.
We have done some increase of street outreach. Both the Homeless Leadership Alliance and Directions for Living have partnered, and we're doing what we're calling targeted street outreach. So we go out a couple times a week in mass to various locations where some homeless are generally known to gather. And we're giving them resources, telling them what's in the community, handing out bags of food and toiletries and hygiene supplies and et cetera. So we're doing that several times a week just to increase our presence and to let them know we're here. And if they need assistance, they can certainly reach out and let somebody know.
Great. So as our businesses start opening up and as our consumers start coming back on the streets, how would you recommend to them? What advice can we offer to provide support and help to the homeless that they might encounter? How would you guide them? What would you tell us to say to make sure that they can find you, the relief you need? How do we alert folks that there is the street team, there is the PATH program, there are these things that you guys and your alliance has put together? How do we get them that information?
Well, we do have resource guides. We have one online, but we also have published ones, and I can certainly get you those and we can distribute. We have flyers. I will say the vast majority of people who are experiencing homelessness are aware of what resources are available. And so, especially in downtown, many of them are aware of, but if they're not, you can certainly inform them of St. Vincent de Paul. They have a daily meal. Salvation Army on 4th Street South has a daily meal. Daystar provides a lot of resources for food, bus passes, and things like that. So we can provide some resource guides. They're small guys about that big, and you know, we can have them available for people to distribute as well as our flyers. But in St. Pete, those are some of the in downtown area, those are some of the major providers of services for sure.
I know Joe will add some of those links to your site too. And I really do think we should try to make sure if you can get me some of those flyers, I'd love to distribute them to when our businesses are opening up safely, we're giving them some posters. If they need masks, we're getting them some masks as well and stuff. But I would love to be able to say, hey, because this has been about relief and now it's about reopen. But we have said we have to focus and get better on relief every day. And you are at the front lines of that as well. And you're not alone, though. You've got a team, right? You have a staff. Make sure people understand that we have, you know, a wonderful organization that you've created for us.
We do have staff. I will say several years ago, I was the fifth employee. Now we have 19. And one of the things that we're doing is prevention and diversion. Like I said, on the back end, our goal is always to house people, but we do those people who are already housed, we want to keep them from becoming homeless. So we have, we're involved in prevention services as well and helping people stay in their homes.
Well, thank you. You queued that up, right? Because my other question is like, there are people today that are really nervous that they didn't get their unemployment money yet. They didn't get resources from a government entity. And they're feeling very alone right now. And someone may be knocking on their door right now, just kind of saying, you owe me rent and I'm going to push you out of here. And I know we've got some rules in place that we're trying to even extend to make sure you can't do that. But we know that's going to happen. There are going to be people that are, and they're fearful right now. So that prevention and diversion, it sounds like if people are really that nervous about that, they're feeling like they're about to be kicked out and they have nowhere to go, what kind of support, how do we direct them? Where would you tell us to go?
I have to say, Chris, I'm very concerned about this issue. We've already been seeing an uptick in requests for assistance, even though there's a moratorium on evictions. There was not a moratorium on late fees. And so some landlords are being generous, but some are not. And so people are concerned about having a $10 a day late fee for 30 days when they already are tight with dollars. Right now, Pinellas County has significant dollars that they got through the CARES Act funding, and it is all being funneled through 211. And so anybody who needs assistance because of COVID-related loss of income can call 211 for assistance. And I will tell you, they're already getting a significant number of calls for assistance. But I've also been informed by the county that there are significant dollars that have come into this community. So right now, that's the place to go, 211. There might be a wait because there's a lot of people in need, but that's where the money is right now.
Great. And I appreciate that part of the conversation because I know that's the next shoe to fall, God forbid, if especially if we don't get reopened in a safe way and if we have to go back. 211, and you all are going to have your hands full because that's going to be a problem. And I'm so glad now. I mean, think about your success in the short time you've been here. You've only been here a couple of years, right? Leading our organization.
Five almost.
Wow. No way. All right. Time flies when you have a good time. All right. So it's been 5 years, but to build an organization like that, I want our viewers and listeners to really understand there is resources. So if you're concerned about the homeless, we have an alliance that's working on it. We've got so many great partners that are feeding and helping. But if you need more information, we'll post it. And then also, if you are concerned about your personal situation or a friend or family member, 211 is the first start of that. They have the Federal CARES Act dollars that they can access based on need that you guys are looking for as well. And then you know, and she and Susan is working with all those providers to communicate it as well. She's putting out a newsletter every week that gives us that kind of information. So we're going to share that with you all. But I just wanted to make sure everyone understood. Please understand it's tough out there and everybody has a different situation. Today we learned about one that you and I may have not known. I know we've done some good work with Reach St. Pete, I think it is, that put in Williams Park, put hand washing sinks for the homeless, and some other efforts like that around hand sanitizer stations and stuff like that. So you've built an alliance, Susan. It wasn't there a while back. You should be proud of yourself. But I do think you should keep communicating with us about what you're seeing out there. And if we can provide any other additional resources or ideas for you, we want to be partners in this, because we're making sure everybody at St. Pete's taken care of. You're doing the hard work. Thank you for doing it. And thank you for showing up today.
Thank you, Chris. We appreciate the chamber's interest.
And one follow-on thought. So, you know, after when folks call 211 and that's their sort of first step, if they're moving in the direction of needing services, the next step I would assume would be around the emotional aspects of it. So where can you point folks who put in for the financial help, but then, you know, could use additional resources for the mental health aspects?
Right now, Directions for Living has I'm not sure what they're calling it, a remote mobile crisis line that people can call. Unfortunately, I don't have that number at the tip of my fingers. I can get that to you, though. And so Directions for Living has a remote counseling sessions going on right now. So I can give you those numbers for anybody to contact if they're in need of assistance.
Awesome. Well, Susan, again, thank you very much. Thank you for helping our community. Thank you for staying safe and for your team, what they're doing for our community. Come back and tell us how it's going as well, okay?
Thank you both for your interest. I really appreciate it. And I will share our conversation.